Welcome back, everybody, to Uproar in the Studio, your weekly Chinese blockbuster podcast. I'm Noah.
I'm Reza.
I'm Andrew, and this is the Jackie Chan post-Rush Hour 3 season, and this is the episode where we really feel like Jackie Chan went wrong.
Yeah, this week we're talking about Police Story Lockdown, released in 2013. Like always, you don't have to see the movie, we're going to give a synopsis. But if you want to watch it without spoilers, listen to the show afterwards. I think this episode has actually come out on Juneteenth, which is both inappropriate and appropriate, I feel like. Both in the United States and in Hong Kong right now, there are a lot of uprisings and protests against police. And we tried to create an arena for discourse on that, which unfortunately fell through.
Largely because everybody's so committed to action on the ground.
Yeah. Which makes it really, really hard to book guests.
I mean, the three of us with our identities, there's just not so much that we could say that would actually be contributing to the discourse.
What we can say is that Black Lives Matter, fuck the police, yeah. We're a podcast that supports the protest movement.
And we've all, like, joined protests here and there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing to emphasize in the intro here is that fuck Jackie Chan for fucking with cops. Jackie Chan's played a cop since the 80s. In real life, he's supported police putting down protesters and CCP police against Hong Kong, essentially, for quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take it all the way back, and you take it back to, like, the original Police Story movies, like, at least with those original ones, you can just kind of see it as, like, oh, he's using this popular genre as a packaging for his unique style of action. And it doesn't necessarily, like, implicate him in what is happening because of the support. But once you get to the point where you're, like, for decades and decades, you are on and off screen supporting cops, even as they, like, tear apart the city where you started, then it gets a little messy.
I mean, I guess it just plots exactly, you know, where his career's gotten. And I think inspired this season to begin with, just to see, you know, like, the bad side of China's rise, right? Like, you get to see your childhood hero kind of just support police brutality. Such a critical juncture.
Yeah, and this week we're talking about a movie where that sort of behavior peaks, where he glorifies SWAT teams and essentially riot control gear.
We talk about this movie with Bosco Lam, a graduate student of political science at University College London from Hong Kong. Here's our conversation.
Oh man, I was spending an hour watching it, and I actually tuned it to, like, a double speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't stand it. It's been too long. It's a hell of a movie, right?
Yeah. What's your, like, general familiarity with the series before this one?
So basically, the Police Story series is a famous movie in Hong Kong. It's a huge brand in Hong Kong because the first one started in 1985. And it was actually quite a blockbuster back then. And many Asian culture looked up to the movie in 1985 because Jackie Chan made his debut in terms of a very nice kung fu fighting, you know, kind of martial arts campaign on the movie. So, yeah, it had a very great start in terms of setting a tone for the series back then.
I've only seen the first three. Have you kept up with the ones after that?
Not really at all. It's getting really terrible.
Yeah, it's
when
kind
it comes
painful.
To like the 4 and 5.
Was this the first time that you had watched the 2013 one?
Yeah, it's my first time.
Okay. Did you expect something different? Or it sounds like at least the first one was really entertaining.
Yeah, because I also looked back into the one in 1985 and I thought that, yeah, it's pretty entertaining comparing to the one in 2013. Particularly, I think that the 2013 one is pretty boring in terms of the setting because, you know,
literally
there's only one
setting.
Scene. literally one. And from the very beginning to the end, it's like everyone is in the bar negotiating, you know, all the fighting stuff in the bar. So there isn't much for Jackie Chan to develop, right?
I didn't catch if he was the same character as in the first... Well, I think in the first three, actually, he was the same guy throughout. But I don't quite remember if Zhang was his name in the first three as well.
I think it's because I've found some sources online, and it's basically a different character from the past four.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first four series, it's based on Hong Kong background. But for this one, it's pretty much a China background.
That's so strange. Third one.
Yeah, that's the feeling I got. And I was telling Andrew that, but I couldn't put my finger on why I felt that way. But it felt like very much like he was a mainland policeman in this one.
I was a little bit confused because they had police written in English on the jackets. So I thought maybe that's a Hong Kong thing, but I don't know.
Because in mainland, they also have the police in English written on their badges as well.
Ah, okay.
For now. Yeah, they kind of, you know, modernize the idea of police in mainland now.
That's interesting, because I had, I don't know, a little bit of a tangent, but I got a new Russian passport a while back. I had, the old one is entirely in Russian, and the new one has English on it as well. Somehow English
submit,
is penetrating even
submit,
further.
Submit, man. Submit to the English.
Submission to English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, was there anything in particular that you found, like, extremely nauseating? Because I have a few things I definitely found just intolerable about this movie.
The worst part would be the plot. It's simply... it's simply plain bullshit. Very monotonous kind of setting, I think. Like, the main character trying to reconcile with his past, and the villain trying to, you know, take revenge on everyone, trying to burn down the bar and get everyone to hell with him, but he's kind of didn't work well on his plan, so...
There's a bunch of time filler stuff. The only part of the movie that I thought worked at all in, like, a procedural kind of way was the trial. You know, you can kind of call it a trial, where he's trying to figure out what actually happened in the pharmacy. But up to that point, there's a whole bunch of filler where it's like Jackie Chan is trying to guess through flashbacks, like, how did I fuck you over? You know? why do you care about me? It's flashbacks to, like, you could call it action set pieces, but they're not that exciting. Like, one car flips.
The perfect example is, like, the car chase, right? Where, like, he's... I guess trying to hark back on this one character from his past, but you can never, like, tell exactly who's in the frame or not, because right. Each shot is shot from a completely different angle.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was in the flipping car or if somebody else was in the flipping car. Just very confusingly edited.
What do you think it means for Jackie Chan to have played the cop in this movie? Because you're saying that here it's a, you know, he's a mainland policeman. Why do you think he would take that role? And why do you think it changes from the first four movies, him being a Hong Kong policeman?
Yeah. So I think it's very sociopolitical thing in terms of the filming of this movie. Because talking more about the background of the filming industry in China and Hong Kong, there is basically a shift of investment, you know, since the blooming of culture and economics in China. So there is a lot of investment into the filming industry, and particularly when the Chinese government is also taking initiative in investing into their soft power. So, you know, there's a bit of a turnaround in terms of the, you know, leading position of film industry in, you know, Hong Kong and China, because back then Hong Kong did have more leading position back in the 80s and 90s. But for now, like, many of the Hong Kong actors are filming for and shooting for Chinese movies, Chinese investments. So Jackie Chan is one of the pretty much an epitome for this kind of filming opportunity. So yeah, he's pretty much has changed his position since then.
Well, it's also interesting because that change starts to happen. Did you ever see the third Police Story?
I didn't see it.
Okay, so in that one, he plays his original Hong Kong cop character, but Michelle Yeoh plays a mainland cop. And so at the end of it, they're trying to figure out how to split this money that they recovered. And Jackie Chan goes, how about we let Hong Kong take it? in a few years, in 1997, it'll be our money altogether.
Wow.
And this movie came out in the mid-90s, right? So, like,
yeah.
He was on that wagon early.
That's a huge implication. Yeah, and he's pretty much the leader of that bandwagon in terms of, like, splitting the money with China.
Right.
So, like, how is Jackie Chan perceived in Hong Kong with his politicization as time has gone on? Yeah, so Jackie Chan is a pretty interesting figure in Hong Kong because for long, he has been like a hero from local Hong Kong movies, then jumping into Hollywood, and he's pretty much like a star of Hong Kong. But then his personal life was pretty much a disaster because he had like a couple of illegitimate sons and daughters, and he doesn't really care about his legitimate son a lot. So his reputation in Hong Kong is not really good. But what got even worse is that he kind of ditches the identity of Hong Kong in recent years, saying that we should embrace greater Chinese identity in terms of the minor Hong Kong identity. And by advocating it, he also acted according to his philosophy. So he worked in a lot of Chinese movies. And lately, there is quite a major controversy over him because he has been joining a gathering with the Hong Kong police force in a dinner gathering, such a setting, while Hong Kong police is having such a bad reputation lately. So he's been caught up to a really huge controversies lately.
Well, he also, if I remember correctly, over the summer came out sort of against the protesters in Hong Kong.
Yeah, exactly. Jackie Chan has always been pretty pro-China. And pretty pro because of his background. He always reinstated his Chinese identity because he always thought that he's not only part of Hong Kong, but of, you know, greater China Chinese identity. But then what's agitating the Hong Kong people is that he openly denounced the Hong Kong protesters as being just fucks in the city, messing around without, you know, proper demands, while he didn't really address what's really about for these Hong Kong protesters. He didn't concerned about the democratic pursuits of the protesters. And what's even more agitating is that he really joined hands with the Hong Kong police force in terms of a public relations matter, that he had this dinner gathering with all these Hong Kong police leaders, high authorities. And then there is a very interesting statement. Because there was a leak out video clip of that dinner gathering. Uh-huh. And, you know, it went really viral in Hong Kong. Like, everyone is, wow, Jackie Chan. And, you know, a couple of other actors are having dinner with these police bastards. And everyone is, like, getting viral and getting deeper into the video. You can see that one of the police officers were saying that, well, actually, we learned to be a police by watching Jackie Chan's movie. Yeah, that's a huge statement they really made.
I mean, it's kind of crazy that Jackie Chan, you know, you compare him to like Charlie Chaplin, who's always playing sort of a bum, or also Stephen Chow always kind of playing either a god or a bum, but Jackie Chan's always been a cop. The Police Story movies, obviously, but also Project A, he's like an old-timey cop. The Rush Hour movies, he's a cop.
Yeah.
He's just like, I don't know why, but the character that he keeps returning to is cop. I don't know why.
Actually, I think it's very related to Hong Kong and China, you know, the greater atmosphere in our regions, because maybe we sort of wanted more stability. And maybe sort of the movie industry and the government sort of want more promotion, more PR with police movies. And that's why they are inviting the greatest stars to portray a better image for the police.
Do you think that would have been the case in 1985 as well?
Yeah, I think so. Because by looking into the history of Hong Kong, mm-hmm. you can see that the Hong Kong police force has undergone a lot of struggles and changes after World War II, because it used to have a very bad reputation in terms of corruption, bribery, that sort of matters. But then since the colonial government had undergone reforms in the 70s by introducing anti-corruption
measures, and also the famous ICAC, which is a, you know, anti-corruption independent kind of administration to check over the power of the police force. Yeah, that sort of thing, like internal affairs. So back then, the Royal Police did had improved images. And that's when the 1985 movie came out, when the Hong Kong police force was portrayed as, you know, heroes and fighting against thugs and all sort of criminals around. So it's pretty much echoing the movies, and the reality is pretty much, you know, echoing with each other.
But even so, in that old one, or like in the first couple, he's a rogue cop, you know, he's not really... But in this one, it's like he's really reliant on these SWAT guys and guys in like riot gear, essentially, which seems like a major shift to me. And I think the cops in riot gear in this movie also look like some of the imagery that was coming out of Hong Kong in the last while.
Yeah, I was getting very Crackdown vibes. Yeah. Obviously.
They had the riot shields even.
Yeah, the riot police came out in you know, the Police Story. But then I think it's very common imagery in China as well. Because as a Hong Konger, when I watched this movie, I can't really relate with what happened in the Hong Kong protests lately, because it's more like a mainland setting in mainland all the time. Because I also travel a lot in mainland a lot back then. Mm-hmm. And actually seeing armed police, riot police is not a strange scene in China at all, because China did try to portray his image as a police state, a state with high security in a lot of ways, and all the time stationing police around the city, like Shanghai, Xi'an, Beijing. Yeah, they deploy forces everywhere.
Yeah.
So you know how all the characters in this movie kind of locked into one room for, I don't know, an hour and 50 minutes, and we all have to sit through it? But like, by the end, they all are, I guess, tied into this one, like, confusing murder scene of the sister. Did you have any thoughts about the reason why, you know, she at the end, I guess, actually killed herself? I mean, there was like the whole angle of
the abortion and abandonment.
Prisoner brought in was like stealing medicine, I guess, right, for his mom who couldn't afford the medicine, I guess. And then also the actual sister who killed herself was there because she wanted to medically overdose. So, like, do the medical desperation kind of vibe, does that reverberate at all, like, in Hong Kong society? It just seemed a little bit out of place.
Yeah, I do think that it's pretty much a very independent incident. And I think in terms of this scene, it does reverberate with, you know, many, many other police movies in Hong Kong as well, like some kind of thief catching hostage of a random person and then trying to threaten the other people around him and call for what he wants. So I think it's kind of very, very common scene in terms of Asian movies.
It was interesting, though, that Jackie Chan's cop character mentions to this prisoner, all of the guys on our unit took up a collection for you and your mother after that. Just trying to sort of, I guess, humanize the cops.
Yeah, that's true. Because portraying Jackie Chan as a cop with his own struggles, of his own backgrounds, and as a human, basically, yeah. Humanizing his character.
I mean, throughout this, I think there's like this weird justice theme, right? Where it seems like Jackie Chan, to all the people about to commit a crime, he's like, you know, if you back out of it now, there's a way for us to talk it through, but like, if you go through with it, the measures will be much harsher. Like, I don't know, it felt like it was like a lot more fluid. I think maybe the potential like ramifications legally, but it seemed a little out of place as an American to see like
like a cop try to stand someone down instead of shooting them in the face,
rather than just like, you know, bang bang, like, you know, right. Like, do what you need to do, I'm gonna do what I need to do. Like, there was a lot of back and forth actual discussion. Yeah. Is that normal? Is that like, is that how the justice system kind of works, more or less?
Yeah, I think because I've also come across a theory in Hong Kong police films, kind of theories that we simply see these kind of police movies, you know, they are acting arbitrarily like a rogue police, you know, Jackie Chan all the time, involving in negotiations without, you know, any formal protocols. And as audiences, we actually do not really know what's inside the police, you know, how they react or interact in such crime scenes or hostage scenes, because there is simply a huge void between we common people and the actual police practices in real settings. These kind of, you know, police stories and police movies are trying to fill the gap in between by, you know, setting some imagination, setting some myths to the audiences, because they really want to try to fill up the gap and let the public to feel more intrigued and feel better about the police force. But actually, in real life, these police protocols might not be as justified in real life, because there is a huge gap of perception between the reality and what we common audiences perceive.
It's interesting, though, the methods of how he's humanizing cops have also sort of changed. Like, in the first police story, he takes the person he's protecting home to his apartment, and he's just this kind of, like, I don't know, just this regular sort of schmuck, you know? He's, like, going around at home, he's, like, fucking up a lot. And this one, he's just, like, I think someone has used the word dour to describe some of these later Jackie Chan performances. He's just kind of serious the whole time. He's not only a very good cop, but he doesn't seem to be focused on much else but being a cop, which is not entirely the case in the earlier movies, I think.
Yeah, I think
the next police story look to you, just imagining the next police story funded by China taking place in Hong Kong, look to you in your mind.
I can't really imagine it, because simply it's so hostile between Hong Kong citizens and the police force at all. Mm-hmm. I think after Police Story 2013, there are a couple of other police stories as well, like Andy Lau's kind of version of Hurt Locker.
Mm.
You know, the bomb squad trying to get rid of bombs, those kind of movies. And, you know, back then, Infernal Affairs was a huge success because, indeed, it portrayed a very fabricated scene of undercovers and police and, you know, the bad and the good, all the struggle. But then for now, it seems that police's images in Hong Kong has got so much worse in that no one has any fantasy or any kind of fantasized images on them. So I foresee that there won't be much police story coming up in Hong Kong. But then for those in China, I think they would simply trying to reinforce the image of a strong brute force ability in demonstrating military or forceful actions in terms of, you know, gathering more within China. Just like the other movie, the Wild Wolf, lately came up in China that portrays a huge, strong image of China in front of the whole world.
2015, there was a Wu Jing movie called SBL2.
Yeah,
where he plays kind of a rogue cop that's more like the old fashioned, I mean, it's a lot grimmer and kind of cooler action, but like a lot more like the old fashioned Jackie Chan rogue cop. I guess there's a little bit of a possibility to make these sort of movies, but I guess you have to be Wu Jing.
Yeah, he's pretty much the next Jackie Chan, I think.
Well, so they did Climbers together, right? And I think Jackie Chan plays the old Wu Jing in that. So they kind of literalize it. And this movie that came out last year and like didn't make that much money. Yeah, exactly. But also, if I remember reading correctly, Bleeding Steel, this like bad sci-fi movie, which Reza, I think we watched at some point. It came out a couple of years after this one, and it was marketed abroad, I think in maybe Thailand and like Indonesia or something, as a Police Story sequel. So I guess the message in that one was, we can no longer tell stories about contemporary cops, it's got to be future cops.
Nice. That is the proper pivot.
Right? It's sci-fi cop.
Basically RoboCop.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, cyborgs taking over the world. It's entirely different thing when it comes to, you know, future cops, then it would become like a Minority Report kind of thing.
Totally. Did you have any thoughts on the sort of near abroad element in this movie, with the villain having all of his sidekicks being Thai or I think some of them are Malaysian? Do you think that was just to differentiate him from local people?
I think that that imagery of the villain coming from a Thai background, you know, having a past of fighting in unlicensed boxing, I think it's a pretty interesting portray because, you know, in Asian movies and films, we always have these great boxers or great bodyguards coming from Thailand because simply they might be just so good in Muay Thai.
I mean, SBL too, like Tony Jaa, right?
Yeah, Tony Jaa. Yeah, he's the best, right?
Yeah.
And I think apart from Chinese Kung Fu, we always look up to Muay Thai as one of the most lethal martial arts in terms of fighting scenes.
Yeah, so to get those that sort of clashing
it's
style
time to get in the
cool.
left way, man.
Yeah, exactly. Bring in the Burmese. I don't think we can talk about this movie without talking about the train thing at the end, just how incredibly stupid and soapy all of that was.
Yeah, the train scene.
That really, like, I really wish this movie would have been at least, like, a bit redeemed if the train just flat out
decked both
went
of them
over that guy.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, the track had to switch.
Like, he points the gun at Jackie Chan and he's like, goodbye. Gets run over by the train. Amazing. But, yeah, no, this was stupid. They see each other under the wheel, like, across the wheels.
Just... And he leaves, like, a spider thing. Just like, ugh.
Oh my god, yeah. It's a huge cliche.
Yeah. No consequences in this movie. Like, I mean, you know, that one guy gets shot in the leg or whatever. Does anybody actually die? I don't...
The sister.
But sure, yeah, in flashback. She's the sort
and
of the
to
corpse
be honest,
that animates
her death
the story.
Is what, like, sets forward this awful plot.
You're right, exactly. But in the end, like, none of the criminals actually managed to kill anyone on purpose. Like, there's no murder, there's only suicide, as it turns out.
Is suicide not murder, dude?
that's pretty philosophical.
Right.
Dude, Upper in the studio coming at you.
we got all the big questions. Is the daughter in this movie based on J.C. Chan? Is suicide murder? we got everything. I guess it would be kind of funny to circle back
to
J.C.
What do you think of the role of the daughter in this movie and how that
reflects J.C.
Chan? Yeah, I was going to say, actually, because I think it makes sense anyways. Because, like, the daughter in the movie, by the end of the movie, comes over to the dad's side.
She learns to love cops.
For no reason other than it's her dad. But she seems to, like, disparage his choices as a cop.
And he talks
like,
about
point,
neglecting
like,
her, too.
Job. Like, do you think this is just, you know, Jackie Chan reaching out to J.C. saying, there is hope for us?
You can smoke weed, but, like, it's okay.
I think it's just like development of the daughter's character is so lame and
yeah,
she's just acting badass for no reasons just to it's get his bad. Father angry about her to get more attention, simply a you know attention seeker. And there isn't much character development over the entire movie. We're trying to understand the history, the past of every characters, but there isn't much to tell about the present of all the characters or the future. No one has really reconciled or feeling any better after all the review of the truth.
Although,
yeah.
Like, I guess the father and the daughter do kind of mechanically come together, I guess.
Yes, mechanically.
But also just on the point of, like, attention-seeking, completely pointless rebellion. In the Jackie Chan autobiography, there's this hilarious thing about how JC eventually moved into his house. And they couldn't deal with each other, so they basically split the house down the middle. And essentially to piss him off, apparently JC would just leave all of the lights on. Just give him a massive electrical bill. Pointless rebellion, just like putting on a wig and a fake spider tattoo in this movie.
I really miss that Call of Duty on the ground montage scene. The very annoyingly timed, like 5 seconds in, you know, he can't tell where he is, and then he hears his daughter screaming, and then 5 seconds later, I don't know, it's just...
Do you think this movie is so badly edited because it's from the perspective of a concussed person?
Potentially multiple concussed people.
Right. Yeah. Like, we're trying to understand this, like, guy who's, like, trying to get through the world and nothing makes sense because his brain is exploding.
I mean, oddly enough, the director of this previously directed Little Big Soldier, and, like, this was the next project.
Wow.
Which...
Little Big Soldier was so much better.
Like, it's so much better, but like learning that, I think, makes it a little bit more political even, right? Like,
how do you mean?
I mean, from the beginning, I almost felt like his daughter, besides representing the obvious JC parallel, is kind of like, you know, the youth may be rebelling against mainland Chinese rulers or something like that towards, she goes over to this corrupt kind of
semi-foreign
hedonist club guy, right? Who, like, I don't know, maybe represents Hong Kong in the director's eyes.
Maybe.
I don't know. It just, it felt more political in the beginning, and then it just
fell
lost
apart.
A lot of that. Yeah.
It just goes straight down and getting to the end of the movie. And I think my takeaways for this movie is, you know, it's pretty much a very bad movie.
The entire set. That's such a good way to end.
It sucks a lot. It's not entertaining. I won't recommend it. And it's just the epitome of trash, of trash movie.
It's just so tragic what they've done to this series. Like, it started out so good, and they're doing, like, literally, like, probably the worst movie I've seen for this podcast.
And it has literally nothing to do with the past four series or the original setting of the police stories, because it just came up with a whole new branding, new characters. And yeah, I can't see how this series would go on. I really can't see.
And it's just this blind money grab, because obviously they made it for not much money because they had the one set, essentially, hoping to cash in on the name of the police stories, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
Totally, right? It's totally just taking the name for their purposes. Like, look, there's this popular movie that we can claim
that's
that
an
we
icon.
Hate now.
Damn it.
Hate to see it.
Hate to see it, yeah.
Thank you, Bosco Lam, for being on the show. That's it for this episode. It's a little bit of a shorter one.
Our original music comes from Elliot Saltmarsh and Yehuda of Fist with a PH, and our art comes courtesy of Jay Castro.
Follow us on Twitter at China Film Pod, like the Upper End Studio Facebook page, and if you can afford it, please donate to any Black Lives Matter causes. If you have any thoughts or suggestions, email us at upperendthestudio@gmail.com.
Next week, we're talking about Dragon Blade, but before we leave you, we would just want to share some wisdom from the chairman. Fuck the police.
And to read too many books is harmful, but you should all be reading as much as you can right now. We'll see you in a week.